If you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and read one of the same passages that we read on Sunday, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him," that's David, "in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." From that day forward is where we'll take our thoughts this evening. From that day forward, everything in David's life from that day forward was different. We saw on Sunday the description that was given of David after that day. Prior to that, he was little thought of by his brethren, little thought of by his parents, little thought of anybody else. But it's not much longer in verse 18, and we read, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." David had become a man. He had not just become any man, he'd become an exceptional man. He had become talented, he'd become wise, strong, prudent, an all-around good person to be around, and noted for having the presence of the Lord with him. Everything that we as children of God, whether men or women, should aspire to be. Everything that we ought to desire, just to be flowing forth with the presence of the Lord, to be considered mighty, to be considered wise and pleasant to be around and talented, and we ought to desire that as people. And David, from that day forward, that describes who he is. We know him as the sweet psalmist of Israel. We identify closely as he pours out his heart upon various instruments throughout the Psalms. We see his war tactics and his wisdom and his spirit and all that he does. From that day forward, David was a different individual. David was and became the David that we know in the Bible. In fact, he's mentioned almost more than any other character of the Bible. Almost 1,000 times throughout the Bible, David is mentioned. This day was an important day in David's life. From that day forward, that day was a day that the Lord made a great change in David. Not to say that David prior to that didn't have a lot of admirable qualities, but that day was a notable day in David's life. As we look at that day, as we consider that day for David started off as any other day started off. We see that in verse number 11, Samuel said to Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." He's off doing what David does every single day. It was the ordinary day for David. It was the mundane day for David. It was just another day in David's life. It was an ordinary day. But it was a day that was chosen of the Lord. It was a very specific day for David. David didn't know that when he woke up. It was another day outside, out in the elements, chasing the sheep. It must have gotten old. You know, every day the same thing. Every day probably the same sheep wandered off into the woods and he would chase them down. Every day he would lead them to a pasture to feed. Every day he would lead them somewhere for them to drink. Every day, the same thing. And our lives are that way. They just repeat over and over again. Every day the laundry piles up. Every month there are the same bills that were there last month to pay. Every day often seems the same. But this day was a day chosen of the Lord. If we go back to verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? The Lord came and interrupted Samuel's life and said, hey, how long are you going to stay in this place? How long are you going to be stuck in this same condition? Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king amongst his sons. This day was another day typical for Samuel, mourning over the disobedient king of Israel, Saul. And this day began with the Lord saying to Samuel, snap out of it, get moving, fill your horn with oil, and go do what I'm telling you to do. God instigated this day. God began this day. And he sent him to Bethlehem. Verse 3, and he said, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. This was not a day chosen of Samuel. This was not a day chosen of Jesse, David's parents. And this was not a day chosen of David. It was a day that began under the inspiration and the instigation of the Lord. A day chosen of the Lord in which David's life forever changed. That day, from that day forward, you know, if we look at our lives, we've had some that days. There have been some that days in our lives in which things were never, ever the same again. The first one of those that days, perhaps, was the day that you were saved. I remember that day. The day that the Lord saved me. 1987, towards the end of September here in services, I remember that day. That day that the Lord began to trouble me about eternal matters as a little boy. I remember that day. And ever since that day, God has been someone that I have talked to every day. Ever since that day, God has been the one that I've leaned upon, that I've trusted in. Ever since that day, God has been a reality in my life. And there are many that days in our lives, the first of which ought to be the day that the Lord saved you. Things forever changed. I don't recall being awakened or having any spiritual thought before those days, before that day came. I think about the blind man in the New Testament, and he says, all I know is whereas I was blind, now I see. There's a certain amount of darkness that covers every day up until that day. And from that day on, the Lord awakened my eyes and opened my eyes to spiritual things, opened my eyes to His Word, and I began to speak to Him every day since that day. And there are other that days in our lives in which the Lord meets with us and changes us and works on us. There are days in which God comes and He interrupts the ordinary, the mundane. They are days of His choosing. They are days in which He fills us with His Spirit and convicts us and opens our eyes to things that we have never seen. We sang that song on Sunday, open my eyes that I may see. Visions of truth thou hast for me. There are those days. As we look around the world and we see those that are either lost or those that are horribly backslidden or struggling in sin, they need one of those days. As we read in David's life from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day forward, things were completely different. This was a sovereign day, a day of God's choosing, a day of God's power in which David was never the same. And as we look around at those around us, hopelessly lost in sin or deeply backslidden, they need a that day. They need a day in which God meets with them and God changes them, never to be the same again. From that day forward, everything was different. I believe we ought to be praying for days like that day in our own lives. Oh Lord, come and stir me and awaken me such that I will never go back to the ordinary way that I do things today. Lord, fill me with a passion such that I will never be as cold as I am today. Fill me with a zeal such that I will never be again the way I am today. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament in John chapter 21. A few months ago, Pastor preached a message from this passage, and he spent a lot of time upon a little phrase that we'll read in here. Verse 2 of John 21, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We go also with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Pastor preached a message on the that nights that we have in our lives. There are certain days in our lives. There are certain nights in our lives. Of course, the idea of night speaks of darkness. Times in our lives that are obscure. Times in our lives that are hard and difficult. And he preached on the that nights, the difficult times in our lives. And the same thing that made the difference that day for David is the same thing that makes a difference in the that nights. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one. And he brought a wonderful message about the that nights that we face. Some of the more difficult of our mundane and ordinary days. Begun to think about that night. Think with me for a moment about what that night was like. Certainly, if they had left their families to fish that night, they were under some pressure. They were under some pressure to perform, some pressure to provide. Things were difficult. Christ was not around to just bring a coin out of a fish's mouth as he had done in the past. Crowds no longer thronging them. People not providing all the needs for them. So that night, they were trying hard. They were trying very hard that night. You may look at your life and you may be trying very hard. Many are. Believers typically are. Believers know enough about the Word of God and they have goals and they have standards and they're trying very hard. That night, they were trying very hard. I thought about something else about that night. That night, as they were trying hard, I would say they were trying harder than everybody else. That night, Mrs. Simon probably slept comfortably at home. Mrs. Simon Peter. Mrs. Thomas Didymus. Mrs. Nathaniel probably were at home sleeping. Four other disciples that are not named here probably also away sleeping. Everyone else has put away the cares of the world, but that night they were toiling. That night they were working hard. That night they were worried about provision. That night they were trying harder than everyone else around them, and it still wasn't working. You ever felt that way? That night you're losing sleep. That night you're laboring harder than anyone else, and yet it still doesn't seem to be working. That night seemed like another wasted night. That night was wearisome and difficult. And all the rest of the world was asleep and clueless to the struggles of them that night. You ever feel that way? You feel lonely. You feel isolated. You feel like everyone else gets to just coast on through, but that night you're struggling. That night you're toiling. And nobody even knows about it but you. Nobody knows about the struggles. Nobody knows about the labor and the sweat and the toil and the anxieties that you face that night. But what happened that night was the same thing that can happen during the day. As we know the story, we see that Jesus appeared there on the shore. Verse number 4, but when, we see that transitory word, but. That night was another wasted night, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The same thing that makes a difference in the daytime makes a difference in the night. And that night, the Lord made a change. If we follow the life of Peter, the Lord made a change in Peter's life. Peter was kind of a struggling disciple. He had a lot of ambition, he had a lot of zeal, but he had a lot of struggles. And this night, he was the ringleader in a wasted effort. But the Lord met with him that night. We see the dialogue that the Lord has with him in verses 15 through 22. And the Lord works on Peter. And the Lord deals with Peter that night. And Peter becomes one of the boldest and strongest witnesses for the truth. One of the greatest leaders of the New Testament church. Willingly facing prison, willingly facing death, he becomes a strong and bold Christian, the same Peter that cowered outside the trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, who cursed and he lied and said, I don't know anything about this man. That night, Peter was transformed. That night was for Peter, as we see there. And it was probably for others also, but we know biblically that night was for Peter. And that's what it was for. Just like that day was for David. That's what it was for. That day changed David. And this night changed Peter. I mentioned that there are many that nights and that days in our lives. Not just the day that we were saved. This was not the day Peter was saved. But it's a lot like the day that Peter was saved. If we go back to Luke chapter number 5. In Luke chapter 5, when the Lord called his disciples, verse 2, and two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were all done. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draught. We're told very little about the speaking engagement, but we're told about this massive event in Peter's life here. Simon answering him, "Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter was converted there. Peter's life forever changed there. Was he perfect after that? No, there were other that nights to come for Peter. There were other times that the Lord would change Peter, that the Lord would mold Peter. But what a glorious night that was. That night, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything changed for Peter that night. Just as in John 21:3, later on, at the end of the ministry of our Lord on this earth, everything changed again. And on that night, Peter became emboldened. He became emboldened. He became strengthened. And from that day forward, he was never the same. There are so many of these types of days in the Bible. From that day forward, there are countless ones. We could think of Jacob in Genesis 32 and 28. After he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and the Lord changed his name from Jacob to Israel, from that day forward he halted upon his thigh, and he was never the same again. The Lord changed his name, the Lord changed his life. We think of the one in John chapter 9 that was blind from birth. Had never seen anything, blind from birth. And he met the Lord one day on the road. The Lord spit, made some mud, and put it on his eyes. From that day forward, everything was different. We find many that were lame, sick, diseased, those with issues of blood. We find Zacchaeus up in a sycamore tree, had been a filthy criminal of an individual. And the Lord came and stopped under the tree in Luke 19 and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm coming to your house today." That day for Zacchaeus changed everything in his life. We know many, we have many on our prayer list. They're in need of a day like this. A day instigated by the Lord. Oh, we can organize an intervention. You know, that's the thing the world does. They have interventions. They try to get a bunch of people together and just will somebody into changing their life. You could organize an intervention. We can turn over a new leaf. But unless the Lord works in their life, brings about a permanent change, it's what they need. It's not only what they need, it's what each and every one of us need, like Peter and David. We perhaps have already been saved. We've experienced one of those days in which we would never, ever be the same. Look at the change between before the Lord saved you and after the Lord saved you. Things would never, ever be the same. It's been almost 27 years for me, and I can't remember much about not being saved. Most of my life, the Lord has been a close friend. Most of my life, he's been the first one I talked to when something was wrong. I can't even imagine now, for after that number of years, how do you live life without talking to him? I can't fathom that. I can't imagine that life anymore, nor do I want to. Amen. Wouldn't want to imagine that life. I wouldn't want to entertain that life for a moment. And what a change that God makes the day that He meets with you, and by His Spirit, He works a miracle in our lives. A day chosen of the Lord, not chosen of our parents, not chosen of our pastor, not even chosen of ourselves. A day that the Lord works in us. It was an ordinary day for David. Now that's a wonderful thing. Think about how wonderful that is. That it was an ordinary day. We get to thinking that nothing can happen on ordinary days, right? We get to thinking that we have got to create some ado for something to happen. It's got to happen on a revival day. It's got to happen on a conference day. It's got to happen like this or like that on a monumental day, on the day that a child is born, or on the day of... It was an ordinary day in David's life. God is able to take ordinary days, completely change our lives forever. I think of a message the pastor preached, on the other side of nothing is something. What a wonderful thought. How many days do we spend in nothing? We pray and nothing. We come to church and nothing, but on the other side of nothing. On the other side of the prophet praying and praying and praying for rain, and there was nothing, and there was nothing, and there was nothing, and there was nothing, and then on the other side of that was something. Ordinary days always lead up to extraordinary ones. They always do. They're always to be followed by extraordinary ones. It's wonderful to believe and to know that God can work on ordinary days. He can work on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, ordinary days. We can pray for those around us on ordinary days. Backslidden children, backslidden grandchildren, friends, neighbors, maybe our own spouse, on ordinary days. Any ordinary day, God can break through in His power. Isaiah prayed, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the mountains." Isaiah looked up on an ordinary day and he said, "Lord, I just pray that you would just come down and rip the mountains apart and make them melt by your power today." What a prayer. What a thought. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel like the silence is almost deafening? And as Isaiah stood there in that, and he stood there and Israel was crumbling as a nation, he said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the mountains. Oh, that your Spirit would come down and just rip through us and melt us and change us." It's what we need. It's what churches need. We need to be praying for that. Oh, that you would rend the mountains. Oh, that you would melt them like water. Ordinary days, God is able. We need that days and that nights in which God will work in us. And like Peter, we need more of them. We need them to come and forever make us the leader, the speaker, the child of God, the witness that we need to be. That last visitation in Peter's life filled him with zeal and made him a usable child of God. A powerful child of God. I pray for such days in my life. I pray that God would interrupt the ordinary. That He would work. You know, a lot of people just want to live ordinary lives. That's fine, I guess. That's not my desire. My desire is not to stay in the same plane that I have been in for a long time. And I know that God can come and forever change our homes, our hearts, our churches. that it might be said of us like it was said of David from that day forward. Maybe someday when someone is eulogizing us and they're looking at our life, and they'll be able to look and say, you know, something happened that year, and they were never the same. It doesn't matter how pathetic this person or that person has ever been. You know, we can look at some people and say they will never change. And that's true, physically speaking. That's a saying that a lot of people say, is people don't change. But we know that's not true. We know that God can take and change anyone. If we look over the history of just the history of Home Baptist Church and different ones that God has changed, first one that comes to my mind is John Baxter. We could look at the history of ones that God has changed. Changed their heart. Changed their life. Took them from one who despised the things of God, who loved and defended the things of God. There have been countless changes. Almost everyone in this room is one of those changes. We're all one of those changes. Amen. How we ought to pray for such a day. A day like in the book of Ezekiel, when God breathed upon those dry bones and they came together into life. I desire days like that in my life. It's what I pray for. When I'm by myself and praying with the Lord by myself, I pray for days like that. And we ought to pray not just for ourselves, but for others, that they would have a day like that. Those around us. Think about, dream for a moment of what a glorious thing that would be. I'm sure you know somebody who's maybe atheist, agnostic. What a glorious change. Sometimes I like to joy in the fact that there are those that hate the doctrines of grace. They hate everything about what we believe, but they may be predestinated to love them. What a wonderful thought. I've known people like that. Hated the doctrines of grace. Became some of the greatest lovers and defenders of it. Because of a day like that day. From that day forward, never the same. I'm praying for days like that. We all ought to be in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, those around us, and ourselves. We'll stop there and have a song and be dismissed.